Hello, and welcome back to the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast. Thanks so much again for tuning in to this episode. Today, in this episode, we're going to talk about the British Superbike Round at Assen in Holland yesterday, on their annual holiday to the north of Holland at the wonderful Assen Circuit. Now, before you begin, for those who are first-time listeners of the podcast, you can subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode on Podbean. You can download that through the App Store or through Google Play. You can also look at our website, which is www.petermackaymotorsport.com. And also through Twitter, at Mackay Podcast, which will allow you so you'll never miss one of our podcasts or one of the articles which I write on a variety of different motorsports. But let's get right in there and have a chat about yesterday's British Superbike race, because they were both absolute crackers of races. So the British Superbike race at Assen yesterday was the first round of three of the season finale showdown. So the theory with the showdown is that the top six riders in the regular season, if you like, qualify for the final three rounds showdown. So what happens is, over the course of the season, the riders, they will get what's called podium credits. So they'll get 5 podium credits for a win, 3 podium credits for second, and 1 podium credit for third. So what happens is the top six riders with their top points after the regular season, their points get reset and only their podium credits are carried forward. So coming into the showdown this year, which concluded the showdown, top six was set at the end of the last Oulton Park round, and Josh Brooks took just a very slender 3-point gap into the round at Assen, into the beginning of the showdown. So there's two rounds at Assen, which happened yesterday, two rounds at Donington Park in a couple of weeks' time, and three rounds at Brands Hatch in the middle of October to be the season finale. Now, who are the runners and riders for the showdown? Well, it's mainly the Ducati show this season. Three of the six bikes in the showdown this year are Ducatis. So you have the two Paul Bird Motorsport Ducatis of Scott Redding, ex-Grand Prix star, and Josh Brooks, who's a former British Superbike champion in 2015. So they ride for the very well-funded Paul Bird Motorsport team, and I guess you could call them the official Ducati team. They are an independently run team, but will get support from Ducati. You'll see a lot of guys in just plain red Ducati uniform running about their garage, and those guys are there to help run the bike to the best of its ability. You also have Tommy Bridewell, who races for a one-bike team called Moto Rapido Ducati, who are they're actually a dealer in the south, a dealer of Ducati road bikes in the southwest of England, and Tommy Bridewell has actually had the season of his British Superbike career this year. He's really come of age, and the click between him and the Moto Rapido Ducati team has been fantastic, actually. And Tommy Bridewell's been so consistent throughout the year and done very, very well to be within a striking distance of winning the championship when the showdown began. So it has very much been the Ducati show, but the other three riders that made it into the top six were all on different makes of machine. We had Taran McKenzie on Yamaha, Danny Buchan on a Kawasaki, and Peter Hickman on a BMW. So although it's been the Ducatis that have had the slight edge, which is quite unusual in British Superbikes for one particular bike to have such an edge, but that's what we've seen this year, but it hasn't been complete dominance either. Bridewell, Buchan Taran McKenzie and Peter Hickman have not been all that far behind. So what did we see at Assen? Well, Assen is it's a Grand Prix track. You'll see it on the MotoGP calendar. You'll see it on the World Superbike calendar, and it's been a kind of special event within the British Superbike Championship for a couple of years now, and it really adds a nice element to see the domestic championship bikes going over to Assen for that, and it makes very, very, very good entertainment, I think, because As I've said before on the podcast, for me, there are two tracks in the world that are the best in the world for racing motorcycles on, and that's Assen in Holland and Phillip Island in Australia. They're both such fast circuits, fast and flowing, but with lots of overtaking opportunity. And we saw quite a lot of good overtaking at the weekend at Assen. Now, Scott Redding, one of the main protagonists for the championship, he obviously has had a long career in Grand Prix racing, starting off in the 125cc's, making his way up to Moto2, where he came very close to winning the championship in 2013, and then had 4 or 5 seasons in MotoGP as well on a variety of challenging motorcycles. And this year in British Superbikes for him has been very much a career reset. And do you know, there are many ex-Grand Prix riders and ex-World Superbike riders who come to British Superbikes and they get eaten alive because the rules are quite different. You're riding a bike that's got very simple electronics compared to World Championship bikes. You're riding very unusual circuits like Cadwell Park, Oulton Park, Knock Hill, Snetterton, places like that, that are very different to World Championship level circuits. So that's something that Scott Redding had to adapt to. So although he was on what appeared to be the best motorbike, even though it was a brand new motorbike for the year, and Paul Bird Motorsport got those bikes very, very late, I have to say I had a little bit of nervous energy for Scott Redding at the beginning of the season, because he had a lot to prove. It was not going to be a cakewalk, but he has really taken to British Superbikes very, very well, and his performances have been such that he's managed to land himself a seat in the factory Ducati team in World Superbike for next year. Now, when he was leaving MotoGP at the end of last season, that wouldn't have been an opportunity that he could have even dreamt of. So it shows that British Superbikes is a very, very highly respected championship. So because Redding's got all that Grand Prix experience, two circuits that he absolutely loves are Assen and Donington. And those are two of the three circuits that we're going to go to in this season finale showdown. So Scott Redding, over Assen and Donington, he's kind of got to make a little bit of a cushion for himself, because the final round, where there's three races at the final round, Josh Brooks is absolutely dominant at that track and has had some fantastic last day of the season charges at Brands Hatch in the past. And even with a little bit of funny weather in the middle of October in the United Kingdom, Josh Brooks, if he comes into Brands Hatch with a shout, he could be almost the favourite, even if he was slightly in deficit in points. So Scott Redding coming into Assen, he did exactly what he needed to do. He took the double victory, two convincing victories in both races, which was exactly what he had to deliver. This is two circuits which are very much in his favour, Assen and Donington, where he had his he was the youngest ever rider to win a motorcycle Grand Prix at the age of 15. When that record was only very recently broken last year. So that was at Donington where he achieved that feat. So he really has an advantage at Assen and at Donington over Josh Brooks. So if he doesn't score the points now, he's going to make life very difficult for himself when he comes to Brands Hatch. Now, what about Josh Brooks? So he came into the weekend at Assen with a very slender 3-point gap in the championship. So it's absolutely even Stevens all to play for. And in the first race, Josh Brooks, he had to battle tooth and nail with Jason O'Halloran and Luke Stapleford, the resurgent Luke Stapleford. We'll come on to him in a minute. It was brilliant to see him up the front. And managed to fight his way through. And Assen, you can often find yourself fighting in a pack of 3 or 4 riders. So if you get someone puts a hard move on you and you fall to the back of the group just at the wrong time, what could have been a very strong race can often look quite ordinary very quickly. But Brooks really toughed it out hard, knowing how important it was to just limit the damage to only 5 points by finishing second behind Scott Redding. In the second race, Josh Brooks wasn't so lucky. Josh Brooks was in a battle with championship protagonist Tommy Bridewell and Danny Buchan, and they were all glued together on track and trading places all the time, and some really hard moves being, but all fair moves. It was actually really good racing to watch. Very firm but fair, controlled moves. Like, really, really good, because at Assen it can sometimes descend into complete carnage, which makes for great television, but not, sometimes not so much if you're a rider. So, but unfortunately, Brooks was just he was just the unlucky man in that three-way battle with Brian Bridewell coming in second and Danny Buchan in third, so Brooks not even climbing the podium. And when the riders are on their cooling down lap, and most of the riders, they'll pop up the visor on their helmet, and you'll see the either joy or pain on their face, and they'll, you know, they'll be high-fiving and low-fiving their fellow riders, saying well done or otherwise, and all the other riders had their visor up, but Josh Brooks on his traditional bad boy Brooks RI helmet, the visor was well and truly shut. And when Redding came up to give him a little low five, it was a very, very somber low five given from the Australian to his English teammate. So, I mean, you can't expect two guys in the same team riding for the same person going for a championship to be getting on. They have had a few crosswords, especially even publicly throughout the year. So I think actually it's poised to be a dramatic end to the season. So over the Assen weekend, Scott Redding managed to profit by the tune of 17 points. So 50 points to Brooks is 33, gives Scott Redding now a 14 point gap, and it adds even more emphasis onto the Donington Park race weekend. It's going to be very weather dependent. At the moment, we're enjoying quite good weather in the United Kingdom, quite unusual for the time of year. But in about, in a couple of weeks' time, when they roll into Donington, that weather could be very, very different. And that is something that, although Scott Redding's a very, very good wet weather rider, his wet weather experience on the Ducati is on a superbike full stop is a lot less than Josh Brooks. Josh Brooks is more experienced full stop, but Josh Brooks has got a lot more British superbike experience behind him. So although the circuit layout at Donington is very much in Scott Redding's favour in terms of his results there in the past, the weather could play into the favour and could really help Josh Brooks. Also, the one thing about if poor weather comes in, that can bring a lot of wildcard appearances from some guys who we don't normally see up at the front who come forward in the wet, and some guys who go back in the wet on their speed. So Donington is going to be an absolute cracker, I think. There is so much riding on that race meeting. If Scott Redding has a good race meeting, he can put himself potentially more than a race win ahead of Josh Brooks. If he doesn't, he could be going into Brands Hatch with no cushion at all, and he's got to beat Brooks like for like around Brands Hatch. Now, that's if there's anyone up to it, it's Scott Redding, but anyone trying to beat Josh Brooks going for a championship on a triple header in October at Brands Hatch in British Superbikes, that's a big ask for any rider in the world. So I think Donington's going to be absolutely pivotal to what we see in the showdown in the championship this year. So you know, there's the showdown system has often been quite badly criticised over the years by certain parties, but praised by many. I have to say, I'm a big fan of it. It's very clear what the format is, and you ride to the format, you perform to the format. So the format is you've got to have enough points, enough general points to get into the top six, and then once you're in the top six, it's all about the podium credits that you've acquired through the year. So what you see in the last round or so of the regular season, if riders have already been, if they're already confirmed in the showdown, they can go absolutely hell for leather for podium points, and that's when you see some really exciting racing as well. And I mean, if you look at some of the championship finales that we've had over the years in British Superbikes, most go down to the last race in Brands Hatch, and that simply wouldn't be possible without the showdown system. And I think it's a brilliant system. It's sometimes in motor racing, I find fans can almost be a little bit too much on the purist side, and sometimes you got to allow yourself to have a little bit of entertainment, and that's certainly what the showdown gives. So the standings at the moment, we've got Scott, and this is just the showdown. Scott Redding on 595 and Brooks on 581. The next challenger along is Tommy Bridewell on 544. Now, I'll talk about Tommy Bridewell. Tommy Bridewell came into the weekend with reasonably close to the two PBM men, but it was a big ask to keep up with them in the championship for Tommy Bridewell. But he was definitely in the hunt for sure. And in race one, he was battling Scott Redding really hard. I mean, he was really challenging for the victory with Scott Redding. And round one of Assens on the back end of the circuit, one of the very fast left-handers, just at the exit of the corner, the front end on his Ducati V4R Panigale just let go, and down he went and into the gravel. And I thought that might be his championship over. And despite a very good recovery and a second place finish in race two, it leaves him 51 points behind Scott Redding. And I think with only five races left, that could be a very difficult advantage to overturn. But as I say, there with you know, the typical autumnal weather in Great Britain, you never know. It's not an impossibility, but it's going to be a very, very difficult climb for Bridewell. I have to say, despite that, Assen, even though he had the crash, a very unfortunate crash that any rider can have, he was probably the guy to put the most pressure on Scott Redding all weekend. Certainly in the first race, he was making Scott's life very difficult and was really hassling him. So that was great to see, and just an example of how good he's been riding this year. Tommy Bridewell has probably ridden for every team and ridden every bike in British Superbikes over the years, and sometimes it's clicked, sometimes it hasn't. Yeah, I remember seeing him. He had some good performances on the Tyco BMWs when that first started. Some good performances on Sean Muir Yamahas. But then we also had like the WD-40 Kawasaki days, which didn't really yield much results. So to see him on a team that they clearly click, you can just see that unit. It's a small, tight, but ambitious unit, that Moto Rapido Ducati. And they've got the best of kit. They've got the they've got the Ducati V4R, which is very clearly the bike to have this year. And I think with a bit of development, next year, don't write Tommy Bridewell off as a bit of a dark horse for the championship, because this year it's proved that he's got you know 99% of the pace of Redding and Brooks, and just that misfortune in race one might have made it a little bit of a tough climb for him in the championship. But let's see. Another big mention should go out to Danny Buchan. Again, the giant killing continues. Danny Buchan is the only Kawasaki ZX-10R, what used to be the preferred bike in British Superbikes, but it's getting on now, it's getting a bit older now. But Danny Buchan, with a small team, again, similar to Moto Rapido Ducati, FS3 Kawasaki are quite new to the championship and are, you know, a wee team. And what they've done with the rider of Danny Buchan's quality this year is just fantastic. Danny's ridden so well, wins at Cadwell Park, at Knockhill, really tricky circuits to win on. And he's got that Kawasaki doing things that nobody else can. So much so that the FS3 team have been awarded the contract from Kawasaki to be the official team next year, which is a big deal for that team. And for having such a short time in the championship, they've done very, very well. If you look at the current official Kawasaki team, the Bournemouth Kawasaki team, the JG Speedfit outfit, which won the championship last year, don't forget, with Leon Haslam and skyrocketing him into the Kawasaki World Superbike team. If you look at that, it's very difficult to understand where that fall from grace went. If you take somebody like Glenn Irwin as an example, Glenurban on the Paulbard Motorsport Ducati last year. Some really good performances. Won the Northwest 200 and lots of, you know, did really well in a lot of British Superbike races. And, you know, in winter testing, had a go on the ZX10R and absolutely loved it to start with. The bike felt mega to start with. And he, but once the season got started, it was bizarre. Nobody on these JG Speedfit Kawasaki's could make it work. And it's very, very strange drop in form, but it's cost them. You know, they will be the official Kawasaki team up to the end of the year, but they will lose that contract to the end of the year, and it will go to FS3. And you have to go to the Kawasaki UK. They'll have to go with who's getting the results. And I think if Buchan is FS3's man and he likes that environment, and they know, they seem that Buchan's a guy who can ride that Kawasaki. Remember, Buchan won all of his super stock races and championships on a Kawasaki ZX10R. And nowadays, the super stock and the super bike aren't wildly different as well. So a big mention for Danny Buchan getting up on the podium, up in third place in the second race, and a top six finish in the first race. Now, who's my man of the match? Well, obviously Redding is an obvious choice for man of the match or man of the meeting. But I want to throw a little alternative option for man of the meeting, and it's Luke Stapleford. And you're probably thinking, who's Luke Stapleford? I've not heard of him before. Well, Luke Stapleford joined the Buildbase Suzuki team this year. He's had a lot of, he's won the British Supersport Championship in the past, riding Triumph, and with a lot of success. And he rode in World Supersport under his own team and did very, very well at Assen when he comes there. So he's clearly an Assen specialist. But this year, I mean, in the quality of field you have in British Superbikes, if you're even the slightest bit off the pace, you're out the points. Luke Stapleford sort of hovered around the points most of the year, relatively consistent in fairness, but usually top 10, top 15, that kind of thing. But at Assen, he could have actually, in theory, certainly in the first race, could have finished second, and he rode to a very solid fifth in the second race. So clearly at Assen, I mean, a really, really good performance. I don't want to put too much at the door of the bike that he was riding, the Suzuki, which has had its difficulties this year for sure. But for whatever reason, it seems that Suzuki GSXR 1000 has a little bit of a love for the Assen circuit. Now, the Assen circuit is often a little bit of a leveler in terms of, you know, differences between motorbikes, and usually a sweet handling machine is what you want around Assen. It's not so much all about all power all the time. And if you look at Sylvain Guintoli, ex-World Superbike champion who came into British Superbikes a couple of years after winning his World Superbike crown, and he was eaten alive. He was barely getting in the top 10. And he was riding the Suzuki, the Buildbase Suzuki at the time, and he could not make his way into the top 10. And then they come round to Assen, and then he wins a race at Assen. So it was, and that was his only British Superbike win, was at Assen on the Suzuki. So you're talking a World Superbike champion, is that when he steps to Assen, all of a sudden his fortunes transform. And for Stapleford, again, similar performance jump. So you never know. Let's see when we get to Donington and Brands Hatch if Luke Stapleford can kind of kick off on after that brilliant performance at the weekend. His teammate Bradley Ray wasn't all that far behind as well. He's been resurgent the last couple of rounds. So they're obviously making good steps with that Suzuki bike as well. And it's great to see. I'm always a fan of variety at the front of the grid. It's great to see. Obviously, we've got the Ducatis. We've got one Kawasaki with Buchan, we got the Yamahas, Tyrone McKenzie and Jason O'Halloran. The Hondas sometimes appear, with Javi Forres had a couple of solid results at the weekend, and I think he was 7th and 8th. Oh no, he was 5th in the first race and 6th in the second race. So it's so it's great, and that's what the British Superbike rules allow for. You've got a common electronic unit that is supplied to the teams by the organisers, MSVR, and the MoTeC electronic control unit is given to them, and also it runs a common software as well. So there's not really much that the teams can do in terms of playing about with the electronics of the bike. Traction control is banned. Anti-wheelie is banned, and launch control is also banned as well, because these are very sophisticated and therefore expensive systems to run. So what that means is, and what has been proven over the last, since 2012, since these rules came in, is that it gives the opportunity not only for multiple types of bike to come to the fore, but also smaller teams as well. So if you just look, really, the Moto Rapido team with one bike and a small unit, if you compare that to the size and the experience of Paulberg Motorsport, you would just think that Paulberg Motorsport could just spend them off the park. But actually, the way that the rules, and you look at FS3 Kawasaki with Danny Buchan, so there's two small, ambitious little teams that are right up there trading blows with the big guys, and that makes for a fantastic spectacle. I think that really adds to the product of what British Superbikes is, and that, you know, if you've got the money and you can get a band of guys together and a good enough rider, there's nothing to stop you going and winning British Superbike races, and I think that is really cool. And I think that's what makes it such a competitive domestic series, because you've got 20 bikes that could potentially get in the top five every race. I mean, that's incredible. And long may it continue. And I recently wrote an article, you can read it again on our website, petermackaymotorsport.com, about how I personally think that the British Superbike rulebook should be the global rulebook for superbike racing, including World Superbikes, and I think it would solve a lot of the issues in World Superbikes. But have a look at that article, and please let me know what you think, whether you agree or disagree. I would love to hear from you. Now, that's enough. That's enough for me prattling on about British Superbikes. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it nonetheless. I'll be back with another episode after the Donington round. I'm incredibly excited about that, and I'm looking forward to talking to you all about it. Now, again, thank you so much for tuning in to our little podcast. I really, really appreciate it, you taking the time to listen to our podcast. To check out all of our other episodes, you can go on Podbean again, Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast on there, and you can subscribe, and it gives you a notification when a new episode comes out. You can also go on petermackaymotorsport.com. All of our old episodes are saved on there, so you can go and check out the episodes. Or also, I keep everything up to date on our Twitter, which is at Mackay Podcast as well. So check those out, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thanks very much.